Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here, just like we're glad the folks are here who have continued to listen. They're the really smart ones. And you folks who just tuned in, that's what you got to look forward to. You're going to get a lot smarter, especially now that Peter Meyer is here. Peter's one of the smartest guys I know. He's the author of Warp Speed Growth, two of my favorite books, Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating Markets. And how many times in any given week or two do I go without quoting something from Peter's books or talking about some of the things that he's taught us about penetrating the market, about getting our brands out there in the marketplace that we couldn't do without him. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. You flatter me tremendously.
Well, it's the truth. And my audience is nodding their head. They're saying, yeah, there's that Meyer guy. Blasingame is always quoting you. He's always talking about you. I guess it's a little bit bad, Peter, is when I'm talking to some of my other branding experts and I bring up something that you said. they just have to get over it, because I try to, you know, we try to share the love around here, try to spread the love around. Peter, what's on your mind today? I know you think an awful lot about helping small business owners and medium-sized businesses have the best opportunity to be successful. What have you been thinking about lately?
Well, there's an interesting conversation that you and I started the last time that we chatted on the air about why customers don't buy. And part of the discussion of that has to do with your article over the weekend in your newsletter about risk. Mm-hmm. Customers are always taking a risk when they buy. I mean, we try to minimize the risk. And I'm wondering sometimes if that's really the right position for us to take.
Hmm. Now, are you saying that we should try to eliminate the idea of risk in their mind?
No, I'm not. I don't think we can. And what's more, I think that when we start to eliminate risk, we start to work on things that are often important but not top of the list of importance when we start to eliminate risk.
And we're talking about the customer's risk here, right?
Of course.
Let's talk about before we go any further, let's talk about what that risk feels like to the customer. They're risking their money. They're risking making a bad decision. They're risking finding out that somebody else got a better deal than they did. They're risking buying something that maybe is obsolete in, you know, day after tomorrow. There are a lot of different emotions that they have there with regard to risk, isn't there?
There is, and there's another risk that I think is even more important to customers, both business and individual, and that is opportunity risk. If they find that they are able to save 10 cents and miss a major opportunity, most customers will go for the opportunity. If mm-hmm. they feel comfortable with us, they will simply say, well, I need to go find that opportunity. I need to grow. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, I may be, to use an example that isn't real, but I may be able to save 10 cents on making the best buggy whip ever. And I can reduce the cost of my buggy whips and make them even cheaper than I did last year and the year before. But if I'm still making buggy whips, I got a problem.
Right.
I need to be in a different market. I need to go find a new opportunity. So if I want to reduce the risk for my customer and make it easier for them to buy from me, I can reduce the price. I can reduce the complexity of dealing with my business, both of which are good things, of course. Or I can reduce the risk of going after new opportunities. And if I do the latter, I'm going to get different customers than if I reduce the price. Mm-hmm. Customers are often willing to spend more.
Well, there's no question about it, especially if we can identify what motivates them. Is it to save time, and that could be, which is opportunity. Mm-hmm. Is it to show them how they can run faster, better, you know, jump higher, and all that kind of stuff? We've got to appeal to those things, don't we? What you're saying is you're pretty sure that we can't really help them avoid the risk, just make them feel better about taking the risk.
and maybe help them take a different risk. You know, if the risk is losing money, that's one thing. If the risk is losing the business because you're in the wrong market or you missed an opportunity, that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both run businesses, and we both work on making sure that we're taking advantage of the right opportunities from quarter to quarter, month to month, sometimes from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to miss opportunities by accident. So the risk of a missed opportunity is for you and I often more important than the risk of losing a couple of dollars by playing with that opportunity.
There's no question about it, because a missed opportunity could be fatal.
Exactly right.
Professionally fatal.
Exactly right.
Hold on to that thought, Peter. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Peter Meyer. I told you you'd be smarter when you join Peter. He and I will be back after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with me.
She's got it.
We're back at 17 till, little Chicago for you.
As I was walking down the street one day.
Peter Meyer is not in Chicago, although I was a couple of weeks ago. But Peter's out in the sunny California, in just south of the San Francisco Bay Area, and we're talking about why customers don't buy, and it's all about risk. And Peter, one of the things you're talking about, I really liked what you had to say about opportunity versus cost. I think that's something I had not thought about before, and I think that's an excellent way to say it. I'm going to get you to kind of repeat that in just a second. But I'll tell you my little story about that, Peter. When I give speeches to small business owners, is I tell them that there's a tractor trailer load of whatever they sell outside with loaded to the rafters with all the stuff that they sell, thousands of dollars worth of stuff out there, and I'm going to give it to them. It's all they got to do is go take possession, just drive off with it. And then I hold up a thumb drive and I say, or in this little $39 thumb drive is the capability to deliver that's your whatever you sell in a 21st century way that nobody else has, that'll give you a competitive edge. Now, what do you want? You want the $39 thumb drive with the stuff inside, or do you want the thousands of dollars worth of stuff outside? Now, 5 years ago, everybody didn't take the thumb drive. Today, they all do. And it's what you said.
Yeah.
They realize that in my thumb drive is opportunity. And the other thing is just saving them money.
Right. And opportunity is where we need to go if we want to grow our businesses. And that's what you and I always talk about, is how to grow the business. You can cut your way into profitability for a while, but you can never cut your way to growth and long-term success. All you can do is use cost-cutting to get yourself positioned to take the next opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Miss that opportunity, then you've cut your cost to position yourself in just the wrong place. It's a problem that we probably all recognize intuitively as being correct. I want to grow. I want opportunity. But we don't always treat our customers that way, do we? We instead give them ways to save money instead of grow their lives or grow their business. We don't offer them opportunity in the way that they might be most interested.
How do we do that? How do we get customers to how do we develop products and strategies that make our customers believe that we want to help them gain opportunity? How do we do that?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to go to them and say, what kind of opportunities would appeal to you? Not as to what the actual opportunity is, but how they define opportunity. They define it as personal growth. I mean, different businesses have different markets, so the question will always be individual and be answered. But is it a personal growth question? And what is the definition of personal growth for your customers? Maybe ask 5 or 6 or 10 or even 100 customers as you see them during the days and weeks. So how do you define opportunity? Is it your business growth? Is it the opportunity to grow into new markets, which, of course, is my favorite area? Is it the opportunity to grow into existing customer sets with new products?
Well, let's come up with a specific question. Let's give the folks something that they can actually write down and use. What would that question sound like? Would it sound like something like, Mr. Jones, if you were thinking of the next best opportunity for your business, where you'd like for your business to grow, what would that look like? Is that the kind of question you're talking about, Peter?
That's a good question. Another way of phrasing the same thing, and of course it's all personal, is to say, you know, our business spends a lot of time and energy making it easier for you to buy and cheaper for you to buy, but we're also interested in helping you find the next opportunities. How do you define a good opportunity?
There's another way that I've been thinking about, that I've talked to my audiences a little bit about over the years. Peter, I want to see if you think that this blends in with what you're talking about. I tell my audiences, and as you know, I do, one of the things you and I do at the same time is we're people who listen to us, who read your books and so on, your clients, to understand that we're not in the 20th century. My customers. But a 21st century thought is, how do I help my customers help their customers? Is that not a good way to help, to try to find, to try to help one of our own customers, to get them to reveal to us what their opportunities are?
I think you're right. I think that's a very good way to look at the situation. How can I help my customers help them? Yes, very good. I like
well, and then there's another, and then I even go further than that, Peter. I actually say, help your customers help their customers' customers.
When it's applicable, absolutely.
If you can look all the way through, because one of the things I'm trying to do, Peter, and I know you talk about this all the time, is I tell people that I call on, my people that are my prospects for different things, I tell them I'm not looking for business. I'm looking for partners. And to me, if you can help a partner help their customers, a customer help their customer, that's how you get a partner.
And when you do that, you then look at opportunities in the future instead of looking at ways to survive today.
And what have we done about risk now?
We've moved it into the risk of how I can grow the business versus how I can save a few cents.
And maybe even lowered that risk just a little bit. Hold on to that thought, Peter. We're going to come right back and put a cap on this discussion that we've had with our good friend Peter Meyer right after these messages. Peter is the author of Warp Speed Growth and Creating a Dominating New Market. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Broadcasting Live from Columbus, Georgia, on my way to Dallas. That's right. Tomorrow I'll be broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, where I'll be addressing some small business owners. I'm looking forward to meeting all those folks out there in the Dallas area, and I'm looking forward to road testing some of the things I learned from Peter Meyer today. And I know you guys will too. I know you're taking some of this stuff down and you're applying it to your work today. Peter's helping us to understand the difference, but how customers think about doing business with us, and it's all about risk. And the risk, Peter, I want you to repeat to us how the different levels of different perceptions of risk are, and then we'll put a cap on this discussion.
Oh, thank you very much. I think the easiest way to look at this is that we all want to reduce some of the tactical risks that go on in our lives when it comes down to saving money, saving time. However, we also all want to grow ourselves and our businesses, and that's an opportunity. And so we want to reduce the risk of opportunity as well. Now, our customers want the same thing. If I can find a way to save a customer 25 cents, that's good. If I can find a way to help the customer enter a new market or create a new opportunity for him or herself, that's even better. So if I can get them to think, boy, by dealing with Jim's Lazen Game, I reduced the risk of going into new markets. I reduced the risk of my opportunities. I can get more opportunities. Then I'm going to go to Jim for help. I'm going to ask Jim. And that's the right answer. That's the right place to be.
Peter, before we go any further, I want to remind everybody about your website and where your books are available. Go ahead and give that to us, please.
Well, we're talking about growth. You can go to warpspeedgrowth.com, and that will get you right to the
website. And they can find the books, and your books are available also wherever books are sold, right?
Oh, sure. You got Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore. You need to go online, offline.
Peter, let me give you an example. I'm going to go back to I like to use my little tire store. I use this little tire store example all the time. I have a little small business tire company that I always try to inject in here, because to me, if you can be competitive today with a small business tire store, you can do anything. And so I'll give you let's just get this down to a very basic level. If Walmart can sell tires cheaper than I can buy them, how do I compete with Walmart? What if I tell my customers, John, I know you're busy, and I know your wife is busy, and your children are busy, your whole family's busy, and oftentimes one of the things I see is my customers don't always have time to make sure that their tires get checked. What if I take on that responsibility and I remind you, I call you up, I send you an email, or I contact you periodically and I say, hey, I know you're driving by here every day. Why don't you duck in for 5 minutes, and I promise you we'll check your tires and make sure your wife and children are driving on good tires, and she'll be in and out in 6.5 minutes.
What a great offer that would be. I think that's a very good idea.
Do I care if the next set of tires I buy from that guy is $50 more than Walmart, or do I care that he cares about my family?
There you go. I think you're absolutely right about that. Now, while you're talking to John, who's bringing his car in, you can start to ask the question about opportunity. So what do you use the tires for? Where are you going to go? What is the next opportunity you want around your car that you haven't really thought much about? And maybe you'll find that John will have an idea, and maybe four or five Johns and Janes will have the same idea, that could lead you into a new market, because you've asked about opportunity, not just about cost savings, and not just about taking care of tires.
Are you calling on another customer? Now this is another level. We're now in maybe a little higher, a little more sophisticated marketplace, and somebody says, "Well, okay, you're more expensive than these other people," and you say, "Well, yes, I am, and that's by design, because one thing I know is that you're going to use us to help you." To serve your own customers, and when you're serving your customers, you only want the best. And how do you put a price on that?
And when you want to stay in business for the longest period of time, how do you put a price on that? You want the best opportunities over time. How do you put a price?
Peter, thank you for helping us to understand the different kind of risks that customers think about with us, and how to approach each one of them, and to be effective in negotiating our contracts with our new customers that way. Thank you for being here, Peter. As always, it's our pleasure.
Thank you for having me here. I very much appreciate the opportunity.
Peter Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Warp Speed Growth and one of my favorite books, Creating and Dominating New Markets. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you tomorrow in Dallas.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.